Leonard Sanctum.
Altugius's voice rang out within the observatory. Leonard continued laughing, but his eyes peeked over in Altugius's direction. Altugius spoke again.
I don't believe you've received a full pardon yet.
Leonard's laughter was cut short. Instead, his bloodshot eyes that were bulging out glared at his own teacher with murderous intent.
I've received a full pardon from my second professor, the head of the School of Pyromancy.
I believe the head of Cryomancy has opposed your pardon.
That school does not represent our academy, Leonard replied, becoming agitated.
In contrast, Altugius remained calm and collected as he answered,
Isn't it also true that the School of Pyromancy does not represent our academy?
Leonard, who heard the rebuttal, let out a short outburst.
Are you taking that fucker's side?
He pointed towards Sungchul. Altugius held his expression as he replied with a soothing voice,
I'm just concerned about you.
That single phrase slightly diffused Leonard's explosive anger. Altugius continued to speak.
You finally managed to return to school, and you're going to throw it away over this small incident? Aren't you a prodigal existence within the Airfruit Academy, blessed with the ability to wield two markings and have broken the shell?
Leonard's fierce eyes softened at the rare praise from his teacher, but he sharply threw out a question as he took a step back.
Then why won't you show me the secret of the School of Cosmomancy?
It is simply not time yet.
Altugius had led the conversation with such skill until that point. His final answer felt vague and insincere. Leonard, who had been hesitating, felt like cold water had been thrown over him once again.
What a fucking lip service.
However, his fire had also died down. He no longer had the desire to make things any worse than they were.
Well, I understand what you mean. It looks as though I was too fired up. I apologize.
Leonard approached Sungchul after a half-assed apology and held up his hand with a big smile as if nothing had happened.
I'm truly sorry about this, Mr. Freshman. I just have a fiery temper at times. Let's just let bygones be bygones with the shake.
Sungchul only stared at Leonard's hand. Leonard showed a surprised expression with a playful whistle while retracting his hand. Then he continued to loiter around his hammock.
You didn't look so petty.
It was meant to provoke, but Sungchul couldn't be ignited by such an insignificant person. He only had a single desire at this moment, to try out his newly learned magic. Sungchul lowered his head towards Altugius, who had returned sitting with his back turned, and left the Cosmomancy building. As soon as the door shut, Leonard spoke towards Altugius.
Now that I think about it, I really need to chase that guy out.
Altugius simply shook his head.
Duel? Especially gauntlet isn't allowed. If you start a gauntlet with that fellow, Cryomancy will attack you and your second professor. Isn't that against what your true professor wishes for?
Leonard gave a sinister smile at Altugius's words as he lightly swung his body on the hammock.
My true professor is only Professor Altugius. Professor Fregius of the School of Pyromancy is a good man and I am indebted to him, but isn't he a bit lacking to guide me along the true path of magic?
Altugius didn't reply. Leonard continued to speak through the silence.
I have no intention of starting a gauntlet. I thought of a better method. A peaceful and a legal method.
What are you planning?
Altugius caved into curiosity and asked Leonard, who put on a satisfied expression and replied,
I'll get rid of his place here.
Leonard's gaze fell somewhere far away. The first magic of the School of Cosmomancy, Glare. It was an offensive type spell that summoned a heavenly light that burned away all enemies in sight. Sungchul dressed a scarecrow with an old abandoned suit of armor from the dorm so that he could test out his newly learned magic in the backyard of the eerie House of Recollections, which was visited by none. The method to use magic lay instinctively within his mind. First, he thought of the spell he wanted to cast. He then thought of its complex formations, which he had seen within the magic tome, made of symbols he understood but could not explain. The symbols turned in his mind like the gears of a clock whose rotation and motion brought out the power of magic. After the preparations were completed and the spell's name and chant were shouted out, vocally or mentally, could the spell finally be activated? This entire process was called the aria. The time it took to complete an aria differed from spell to spell, and the wording of the aria varied greatly as well. The aria of Sung Churl's first magic, Glare, was short enough to be called instantaneous. Should I give it a try? The magic formation passed through his mind as though he had hit fast forward, and his intuition alerted him when the spell was ready. Sung Churl looked at the suit of armor he had placed 25 meters away and recited the name of the spell in his mind. Glare. In that instant, a beam of light burst from his fingertip. The pillar of light accurately landed on the chest region, causing black smoke to rise. Sung Churl could see a coin-sized hole that appeared at the heart of the armor. It was a monumental first experience with magic, but Sung Churl didn't rate it so highly. Shit. It was weak. Significantly so. It would be difficult to even imagine killing the king of demons, Hesnius Max, by using magic of this caliber. His opponent was a mage who could freely wield sixth-rank spells, and also had a considerable magical resistance. Glare might barely be enough to singe his skin. Sung Churl wouldn't be satisfied with this first bite. He quickly changed his attitude. It was more than greedy to expect his first magic to split the mountains and the seas. Looking at it objectively, his magic power and intuition had only just surpassed beginner levels, and Glare was a low-tier magic that didn't exceed the third circle of spells. It might look weak in the eyes of Sung Churl, who was called the enemy of the world, but it would be plenty useful in the eyes of the average person. It had the powerful advantage of having a short aria, allowing it to shoot a burst of light instantly, which would make it difficult to dodge. With good accuracy, it could be used to give consistent damage to an enemy, or even suppress them under a barrage of fire. Mages had the unique characteristic of being able to grow their magic's efficacy relative to their magic power stat. If he could raise his magic power, he would also be able to pour out a much more destructive beam of light. In other words, it looked weak now, but it had the potential to be his main form of attack when his magic power grew. Sung Churl finally concluded something along these lines. It is a spell that is bound to become more useful as I raise my magic power. He tried a dual casting of Glare as well. It was to test the main ability of his class, Echo Mage. However, for whatever reason, the echo had not rung out. He recalled Vestiare's voice and conjured the echo with more strength, but it ended after a single cast. However, the reason for his inability to utilize echo appeared before him as in response to his conjuration. A voice without a soul cannot hold an echo. Sung Churl could vaguely understand the explanation after looking at the message. Could it be that I'm still lacking in magic power? A small voice cannot produce an echo. Only a thundering voice from the top of a mountain could make an echo that would stir the entire mountain range. Sung Churl's current magic power could be compared to a whisper in terms of volume. His current state was like taking his first steps compared to Vestiare of the Seven Heroes. The true strength of an Echo Mage would only reveal itself through further training and growth. This is but the start. Let's not rush it. Sung Churl calmed his briefly excited heart. A clutter of problems returned to his mind when he regained his calm. One thing that he needed to do also came to mind. Sung Churl cleaned up his surroundings and left Airfruit Campus towards Golden City's downtown. He planned to go meet Christian, who he hadn't seen in a while. As shadow accompanies light, dark alleys also lay within the shimmering Golden City. Slave Street was one such back alley. A crowd of slavers were putting their slaves up for auction just as Sung Churl stepped into the dirty plaza. He passed by the auctions and watched the faces of the slaves out of the corner of his eyes. A familiar head of black hair. They were a part of the most recent mass summoning which had brought them to Otherworld. Their eyes, lacking intellect, looked at their potential owners with dull gazes. Sung Churl left the auction house, looking bored.
When Sung Churl left the auction house, a street filled with thugs, beggars, and prostitutes opened up before him. He sought out a particular store and headed towards it. It was a glamorous inn with a sign that read, Palace of Pleasures. Christian was spending a joyous time surrounded by several beauties in a room inside the Palace of Pleasures.
Oh my! Look who it is! It is Sir Warrior!
Christian, who was thoroughly drunk, greeted Sung Cho with a loose smile on his face.
You've come at the right time. Please sit over here. There are beauties for everyone!
He began to scold the women with fake anger in his voice.
What are you doing? Take care of Sir Warrior!
Send them all away. Sung Cho spoke briefly but with force. Christian tactfully judged that Sung Cho was not in a good mood. He hurriedly sent out the girls, then stammered with a different attitude while fidgeting with his prosthetic hand.
Regarding Professor Altugius's book, I'm looking into it through someone knowledgeable at Logatete's side. They're working hard at it, so I assume that the results will be in soon.
I'm done with that. Sung Cho raised and smelled a glass of the alcohol on the table, then frowned.
Is it not to your taste?
I can't even tell the number of different spits mixed in here anymore. It looks like this establishment mixes leftover alcohol, so unless you've got guts of steel, stay away from the drinks.
I'll keep that in mind.
And I came by to learn about another topic. Sung Cho wanted to hear detailed information about the person called Leonard Sanctum. When he first heard about Leonard, the man had been a secondary problem, but it had quickly become his primary concern. Christian, who had been depressed, revitalized as though he was confident about the topic.
Ah, oh, Leonard Sanctum! I know plenty about that son of a bitch,
Christian said frankly.
That bastard is suspected of being a follower of Calamity.
Follower of Calamity? Sung Cho's eyes lit up.
That's right. He has Professor Fragius of the School of Pyromancy supporting him, and Fragius is already publicly known as a follower of Calamity.
I want to hear more. It had been quite a while since Sung Cho had an enemy within Airfruit Academy. It was about time that he dug into the situation behind the school. Christian explained the current situation within Airfruit Academy with his own knowledge, as well as the information he collected. According to Christian, the rapid decline of Airfruit Academy ultimately began with the death of Headmaster Magnus 3 years ago. When the headmaster in charge of the school disappeared, Fregius and Robert Danton, both respective heads of the schools of pyromancy and cryomancy, and also the most powerful forces within the school, began fighting to fill the vacancy. If one side had been able to oppress the other completely, it would have ended with a few small incidents, but it was as if a tiger had been pit against a dragon. They were both equally matched. Time continued to slip away as their feud grew deeper in the endless rivalry, and during this time, the school's ability to function had fallen to the wayside. Rumors that the school was teeming with the followers of Calamity also sprung up around the same time. And another rumor, one that said the followers of Calamity had killed the headmaster, also began to circulate, with the actual killer never being found.
Leonard Sanctum, is that Fregius' main disciple? He was originally under Altugius, but after he was expelled under dubious circumstances, he began to follow Fregius. As Fregius is the ringleader of the cult residing within the academy, it could only mean that Leonard must also be a follower of Calamity.
I see. He understood the gist of it, of how the atmosphere of Airfruit Academy truly was. He suppressed an urge to vomit from the sheer repulsion he was feeling.
Ah, there's one more interesting tidbit.
Christian carefully gauged Sung Cho's reaction.
Spit it out. It's not confirmed, but they say that Professor Altugius has a huge debt to Professor Fregius.
Debt?
That's right. I don't know the reason, but the rumor is that it is quite an astronomical debt. They say it is because of this that Professor Altugius cannot oppose Professor Fregius. Well, it is still just a rumor in the end.
I see. He had everything he wanted. Sung Cho finally rose from his seat. On the table, there was a large pile of gold coins that Sung Cho had put out earlier. He grabbed one and examined it. Coinage without a mint, unmarked currency. He looked at the coin with disinterest before he left the room.
Excuse me, Sir Warrior. Are there no other orders?
Make a list of everyone within the Airfruit campus suspected of being a follower of Calamity.
followers of Calamity? It's a difficult ask, but this Christian will devote his all to this task, Sir Warrior.
Sung Churl held out a gem for gratuity, and Christian received it happily with both hands. Send the Sky Squirrel if anything happens.
I understand.
As he left the room, he was plunged into dizzying, decadent red lights. But what truly befuddled him were not the lights, but the situation ahead. He couldn't see an easy path to obtain the knowledge behind cosmomancy. In order to unravel such a difficult problem, he would need to resolve the issue with the followers of Calamity quickly, especially Leonard and his cabal. However, he could meet an undesirable result if he were to approach this situation rashly. The followers of the cult were a vile group, akin to a reptile with many heads. If he wanted to strike, he needed to cut off all the heads at once. Otherwise, there was a chance he might be bitten by the poisonous fangs of a remaining head. The known followers of Calamity members are Leonard and Fregius, but there are bound to be more of them hidden within the school. An influential person must be leading the cult. Sung Churl was the reaper of the followers of Calamity. He thoroughly understood the enemy's methods. The first ironclad rule for dealing with the followers of Calamity was to suspect everyone. Altugius himself might be a follower. Even if that was true, Sung Churl was prepared to use any means necessary. At the same time, several mages had gathered within the House of Recollections to perform a ritual. The person at the center of the magical formation was Sarasa Zero. Her body wasn't covered with the usual thick robe, but only a thin, light nightgown. She was allowing the spells the mages chanted to seep into her body slowly. Altugius looked upon his granddaughter with a worried gaze. Sarasa, who lay there with her eyes closed, felt her grandfather's gaze and briefly winked at him. As the spell that came pouring into her grew even stronger, she couldn't resist furrowing her delicate brows and clenching her eyes. Altugius deeply furrowed his own brows. A man standing near him spoke in a soft voice.
You do not need to concern yourself. There will be a brief moment of pain, but your granddaughter's loveliness will be preserved for eternity.
There was the clear image of a skull drawn on his robe. He was a necromancer and knew of methods to stop the decomposition of the dead. He offered his services in exchange for a small fortune or gifts. Sarasa's appearance had been maintained by their magic craft.
It appears that the payment is a bit light.
Like a ghost, the necromancer knew that the payment was lacking by the weight of the coin pouch. Altugius felt a cold sweat trailing down his spine.
Let's see here. You're lacking 3 entire coins. May I ask the reason for this?
I'll give you the rest the next time we meet.
The necromancer's response was apathetic. He looked at Altugius callously, as if he was looking at a corpse, and spoke perfunctorily.
If I recall, this happened once before. I trusted in the professor's reputation and overlooked the matter, but if the problem continues to present itself, I suggest you look into other necromancers.
Unfortunately, the other necromancers would not help Altugius. That was because the necromancers were all affiliated with the Rising Star Logothete Magic Academy. He would be falling out with the Logothete affiliated, no, all of the necromancers within the entire Golden City if things turned awry with this man.
I will try to prepare the missing amount as quickly as possible.
Despite his own pride, Altugius lowered his head to a necromancer from a rival school. The necromancer looked upon the bowed Altugius with disinterest, then nodded with an unsatisfied expression.
This is the last time. Any more of this, and you leave us in a difficult position.
The ritual continued as expected. The preservation magic upon Sarasa's body regained its original vigor, and her appearance would retain its original form for a short duration. However, this would be the final time. Altugius needed money. Lots of money. There was only one way he could earn a lump sum within a short amount of time. He sought out a man that he never wanted to meet again. The figure wore a crow mask and was dressed in immaculate white judge's robes.
The man, looking out a window at the sun with his hands held behind his back, felt Altugius approaching him and turned to speak in a gentle voice.
Did you finally resolve to save the school?
The man's identity was the heresy inquisitor Magnus Maxima. He was the man who had been sent to investigate the rumors of heresy surrounding Erfrut Academy and was known to resort to any method when it came to eradicating heresy.
Are you going to the School of Alchemy?
Bertelgia popped up from his breast pocket and spoke. Sungtrill nodded as he said, I'll spend some time within the School of Alchemy for now. Leonard Sanctum was bound to be waiting at the School of Cosmomancy to pick a fight with him. Sungtrill wouldn't avoid such a fight, but there was also no reason for him to create any more problems through conflict. It wouldn't be too late for him to act after the information regarding the followers of Calamity had been gathered.
Great choice!
Bertelgia trembled slightly within his pocket as she brightly continued.
Yesterday, I noticed that your spells looked wimpy as hell due to you lacking in magic power, and I thought there was a need to train up your magic power by spending a lot of time at the School of Alchemy.
I doubt it'll go up by that much. He had managed to raise his low magic power past 130 through the manual labor known as synthesis, but his growth rate had plummeted after breaking through 100. Ineffective growth was the opposite of what he sought. Growth by synthesizing is too slow compared to the amount of effort required.
That's what an ignorant person would say,
Bertelgia retorted immediately.
There are innate levels for all alchemic items, you know? Your growth rate is garbage because you keep making low-level alchemic items, but you'll get faster growth with higher-level items.
Is that right?
Yes! The downside is that ingredients are hard to come by, and also expensive. But...
Sungchul couldn't obtain ingredients that were hard to find, but cost was not a problem. He decided to try his hand at synthesizing the high-level alchemical concoctions which Bertelgia had mentioned when he got back to the School of Alchemy. However, he witnessed something completely unexpected when he arrived at the site of the school. The tent for the School of Alchemy had vanished. Sungchul discovered familiar faces gathered behind the worn-down ingredient storage house. It was the professor of alchemy, Pashil Firuz, and his students. Around this time, they would usually be sleeping or smoking pot, but they were gathered in the empty plot with lost faces, as though they had lost their homes. Sungchul approached them. What happened here? No one answered. They only sighed with their heads down towards the floor. Sungchul asked once again, directing his question towards Pashil this time, hoping to get an actual answer. What in the world happened here? The man, who would be sleeping in the nude, wore proper attire this time around. He looked up at Sungchul with a dejected expression on his face and spoke bitterly.
Our school received the notice to disband.
Disband? The complete story was this. The School of Alchemy, at some point in time, turned into a form of garbage dump of students that had been rejected by the other schools within Erfrut. The quality of students and the quality of the educator reflected this fact. Sungchul was fully aware of this. As the academy continued to fall into ruin, there was a movement to remove the useless schools. The School of Alchemy rapidly declined and couldn't show any results as the final person with any form of renown, Filarus's predecessor, had died. In the end, the School of Alchemy was forced out into tents and had simply been waiting for the day when they would be kicked out and be forced to disband. Sungchul had arrived just before that fated moment.
Professor, we aren't truly disbanded yet.
A female student with thick, dark bags under her eyes looked at her teacher and spoke with a sad voice.
That's true. It isn't final yet, but that will only remain true for the week.
Pashil began pulling at his hair dejectedly while hanging his head down. What will happen if the decision for disbandment finalizes? Sungchul asked.
I'll be kicked out, for one. And my students that can't find another guidance counselor will meet the same fate.
We'll get kicked out, too. Only kids that have been rejected are gathered here.
The female student with bags under her eyes spoke frankly, and Pashil scratched his head in agreement.
As long as something short of a miracle doesn't occur.
Sungcho's eyes lit up at those words. So, there is a way? He could resolve their financial problems, if nothing else, But the solution that Pashil spoke of was unexpected.
It is in regards to what the Emergency Management Committee talked about. They said they would disregard the disbandment if our School of Alchemy manages to produce some satisfactory final results.
Something satisfactory? It didn't look easy. Reluctantly, Pashil continued speaking.
That's right. They require an alchemic item that is of the fifth level, minimum. Embarrassingly, there isn't anyone among us who is capable of such a feat.
It was at that exact moment when Sung Cho's breast pocket began to thrash about violently. Bertelgia vigorously vibrated her body like a cell phone on vibrate. She wanted to speak. Sung Cho excused himself before moving to a quiet location when Bertelgia shot out of his pocket as though she had been waiting for this moment and blurted out words that had been held back for so long.
What? They can't make a measly fifth level item? Phew, what kind of idiots are they?
Bertelgia was fuming. Alchemic items synthesized through an alchemic cauldron had a different level system from other items. The alchemic items were given levels categorized from 1 through 9, with 1 being the lowest and 9 being the highest. However, the highest grade alchemic item ever synthesized by humans was known to be of level 7, but no alchemist existed today who could produce that. Along that line of thinking, it might appear as though level 5 was a mid-grade alchemic item, but in reality, its relative difficulty was quite high. The Emergency Management Committee didn't commission the School of Alchemy to produce a fifth-level item for just any reason.
Sigh. Pathetic. Truly pathetic. How could a big-name school like this not have an alchemy professor that could synthesize a fifth-level item? This is ridiculous!
Bertelgia appeared to be upset for some reason. Sung Chul only looked upon the situation with amusement. So, do you have some method to solve this?
Of course. I am a codex of alchemic knowledge. I would obviously have level 5 items recorded in me.
Bertelgia flipped through some pages with various alchemic items recipes, as if to prove her statement, but he couldn't understand any of it. As he had grown more adept with magic tomes, he understood that he lacked the necessary intuition to understand, so he shook his head. Unfortunately, I can't understand any of your pages.
How high is your intuition? Just over 100, right?
He nodded.
It'll be hard to decipher for you, then. In that case, I'll tell you the recipe directly. Although, I'm not supposed to, as the guide of the creationist.
There was such a thing as a creationist, wasn't there? He had put it out of his mind after completing Eckert's quest.
What? Have you forgotten about it? Forgotten that you're walking on the path of the creationist?
Bertelgia dropped out of the sky, seemingly from trauma, then popped up before she hit the ground. She rose to Sung Cho's eye level and flapped her pages. Isn't it enough that I remembered it now?
Really? How can anyone be so rude? Whatever, doesn't matter. Whether you walk the path of the creationist or not, I have no obligation to force you as a guide.
Bertelgia looked peeved, but she did her job as expected of her.
Anyways, I'll list some fifth-level items that I know of which seems possible for you to make. Pick one that seems right for you.
Bertelgia listed names of some alchemic items. Candlestick of Twilight, Rainbow Ingot, Buoyant Crystal, Alchemic Bomb, Dark, Medicine of Elfir. There was a total of 5 alchemic items. Even the almighty Sung Chul had only heard of the Buoyant Crystal. What's the easiest among these?
Well, they're all pretty tough, honestly. You're going to have to prepare yourself for a lot of failures. I only recommended these because their ingredients are easily accessible.
As Bertelgia had said, fifth-level alchemic items weren't so readily synthesized. The gathering of ingredients could be overcome through the power of money, but each item also required a distinct high-level alchemic technique. For example, the characteristic of the Candlestick of Twilight required a unique crafting method from the alchemist. The Rainbow Ingot required a deep knowledge of heat, and Alchemic Bomb Dark required dexterous handwork, along with proficient experience with weight scales. The rest of the items had similar problems. Each required a unique skill.
Which will you make?
Sung-chul thought on it for a while before choosing the alchemic bomb Dark in reply. He thought it would be easier to appeal to the upper echelon through force.
All right, then let's go tell those fools. We will make the item, but the idiots will have to request the procedures for an assessment.
He listened to Bertelgia this time. Pashil Filrus was still shocked and was making a pathetic face along with his pupils. Sung-chul revealed his plans with a firm voice to those waiting in front of the tent. I seek to make a fifth-level alchemic item. It'll take about a week. I only ask that you put in the request for judgment to the Emergency Management Committee.
What? You're going to make a fifth-level alchemic item?
Pashil, who seemed to lack the will to hold himself together, suddenly perked up at the news.
That's right. I want to give it a go.
It hasn't even been a month since you entered the School of Alchemy. Third level? No. Have you tried making second level items yet? At the very least, I don't remember telling you about such an item.
A knowledgeable person I know is quite the alchemist. I'm receiving personal tutelage from that person.
Pashil looked as though he thoroughly disapproved of the plan, but still nodded reluctantly.
I understand. Leave the request to me, but remember this. The judges that will be sent from the emergency committee will be the professors of pyromancy and cryomancy. Playing a prank with those people will be very dangerous.
Pashil made it clear that he would make the request, but the name on the request would be of Sung-chul's. It meant he would take no responsibility for this incident. Sung-chul simply nodded.
It doesn't matter.
He then headed on the path towards the city center of Golden City with Bertelgia and sought a store for alchemic ingredients.
Give me everything.
Sung-chul not only took the ingredients for the alchemic bomb Dark, but the ingredients for the remaining four items as well. It was just in case the production of alchemic bomb did not turn out as expected. He had to expend a small fortune, but he had plenty left. He bought out all other viable ingredients at the store before heading back to the school. The alchemy students lounging beside the storage were already popping off their wine bottles during midday. There was also a thick musk of marijuana present in the air. Pashil, who should have been leading these students, was laughing and enjoying himself among them. Sung-chul overheard their conversations despite his lack of interest. They were mostly low-brow humor regarding sex. He went to the farthest possible location with the cauldron from them. Then, he pulled out a table that had been stored, laid a tablecloth on top, then arranged the various purchased alchemic ingredients and the required tools.
Shall we begin then?
Bertelgia spoke confidently from his breast pocket.
Right. What do I have to do first?
You should prune the porous seeds from the firecracker tree first.
Sung-chul picked up the seed covered with thick hair among the ingredients on the table. It was about the size of a peach seed, and it felt rough. He held the seed to his nose and smelled it. It generally had the distinct vegetative aroma, but there was also a smoky smell of gunpowder underneath. Porous seed of firecracker tree, level 4, rank C, attribute tree, effect, explosion upon impact or contact with flame. Note, seed of the firecracker tree originating from the great meadow of East. Once the seed ripens, it grows more explosive until it self-detonates. This spreads the spores over long distances. A single one of these seeds required 20 silver coins. The price was small potatoes to Sung-chul, but it was enough to match a month's wage for an Airfruit Academy staff.
Delicately grab the seed shell and mark the exterior with the knife. Then we need to extract the explosive extract contained inside.
Sung-chul quickly began his work.
Careful, it could explode. This guy is dangerous enough to take a finger with a single slip.
Bertelgia warned him to be careful, but the knife work of the master chef Sung-chul was relentless. He smoothly handled the seed despite his inexperience with this foreign ingredient and extracted the thick red grains contained within.
He's good, this guy.
Bertelgia was slightly touched. She had felt it before, but the way Sung-chul handled the ingredients was not normal. The porous seed of the firecracker tree was difficult even for properly educated alchemists to handle.
What's next?
We just use the mortar to turn it into powder, but it's easier if you prepare 5 seeds worth of extracts at a time before powderizing it.
Sung Churl immediately moved on to the next step. He handled the seeds with extreme precision and placed 5 seeds worth of extract within the mortar.
Should I powderize it now?
No! You can't just powderize it. You need to make and add a counteragent beforehand.
A counteragent? You mean the thing we made with the blind man's grass?
Bertelgia shook once forcefully within his breast pocket, and he immediately reached for the blind man's grass. Bertelgia stared carefully at his fingertips at this moment.
I definitely told him to prepare the ingredients before adding them. Should I watch and see if he does it properly this time?
Sung Churl was lighting a fire under the alchemic cauldron and pouring the distilled water. It was common sense up to this point. What was important lay after. He once again grabbed the blind man's grass that he had picked out and looked at it carefully until he eventually began the process of pruning the roots and the dried ends of the grass.
Gasp! He's actually doing it right! This person!
It was all beyond her expectations. It was a peculiar thing, seeing a man who looked worlds apart from the words diligence and perfection, preparing each ingredient so naturally. Sung Churl carefully placed the pruned blind man's grass and the other prepared ingredients into the alchemic cauldron and diligently stirred it with a wooden spoon. Soon, a neutralizing agent with a green tint began to form.
Do I have to pour this into the mortar?
Yes! Use about 3 alchemic spoons worth.
Sung Churl added the neutralizing agent into the mortar, and he began to carefully crush the firecracker tree seed extracts, softened by the neutralizing agent with a pestle. After 5 minutes had passed since the process began, the moisture from the neutralizing agent evaporated away, leaving only the red-colored powder within the mortar.
Is this enough?
Bertelgia shook once in reply to Sung Churl's question.
Yep, it's enough. Next, we'll be using the scales.
The scales?
Sung Churl looked at the scales with a blank expression. It wasn't a tool he was familiar with.
Alchemic bombs are a type of tool that requires very specific amounts of materials. That's why it won't do without a very precise scale capable of detailed measurements, you know?
Bertelgia had a few more thoughts that she kept to herself.
He couldn't possibly do something crazy like succeeding in one go, right? I don't know about the other tools, but the scale isn't a tool that's easily handled with beginner's luck.
The process of measuring with the scale began. Sung Churl gently poured the red powder onto one arm of the scale, then judged the weight by hanging the counterweight on the other arm. It went slowly, as it was his first time, but he approached it with focus and precision.
What next?
Bertelgia stared intensely at the swaying scale. It was a perfect measurement, with no real flaws. She didn't want to admit it. But she could see that Sung Churl had the dedication to detail that was the core virtue of all alchemists. However, the final step of synthesizing the alchemic bomb, Dark, resulted in failure despite his innate talent. Boom! While he was stirring the mixture, Sung Churl detected large quantities of his mana draining away and drank mana drink to replenish it, but his focus wavered during the most critical moment, causing the entire process to fail. Synthesis failure! A groan escaped from Sung Churl's lips. He had not blinked at most situations, but it took an unexpectedly heavy toll to expend so much mana and concentration to synthesize a high-level alchemic item.
For someone on my level to struggle this much, alchemy isn't something to take lightly.
The students that were enjoying their booze besides the storage began to look over his direction. They pointed at the alchemic cauldron with black smoke trailing out and started laughing out loud.
Phew! Those idiots! Why do they choose to live that way?
Bertelgia muttered angrily, but Sung Churl was different.
I don't know why, but it feels as though my intuition has increased. This fatigue reminds me of a sense of fulfillment after a drawn-out battle.
He immediately pulled up his status screen to check his stats. Stats. Strength, 999+. Dexterity, 853. Vitality, 801. Magic power, 132. Intuition, 103. Magic resist, 621. Resilience, 502. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18. It was a negligible amount, but his magic power and intuition had increased. He had failed the synthesis, but it wasn't a complete failure. He felt a second wind reinvigorating him once again. Sung Churl chugged down a few bottles of mana drink, then went to butt heads with synthesizing the alchemic bomb dark again. When he began setting up for his next attempt, Bertelgia spoke against it.
It might be better to take a breather. It's too much to repeatedly try making a fifth level item at your level.
You think so?
People often think alchemy and magic are separate things, but at its core, it's an undeniable branch of magic that transforms something through techniques and sheer force of will. Also, the magical fingerprint sitting on your body could be ruined by excessively overusing your magic power. You should at least know that you can't use magic anymore if the magical fingerprint gets destroyed, right?
Bertelgia's warnings were not something to ignore. Sung Churl immediately understood her sentiments and quietly asked a question.
How many attempts a day would be safe?
He asked regarding the maximum amount he could handle. Bertelgia took a moment, then answered in a soft voice.
3 times. Anything more than that would be trouble.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Sung Churl tried synthesizing 2 more times and failed at them. He became depleted of mana at the last moment each time and failed pitifully at the last second as his concentration wavered. However, Sung Churl was not downtrodden. He was only getting a feel for the process, and his stats increased marginally with each failed attempt at creating a high-level product.
Okay, with the way things are going, I should be able to succeed in at least 3 days' time.
The alchemy students, who were not able to understand Sung Churl's condition, used the freak newcomer that was consecutively creating explosions in the distance to fuel their alcohol binge.
Ah, that idiot! He made such a ruckus about creating a fifth level alchemic item, and what's he doing now? Is he planning on blowing up the entire school?
That's what I'm saying. He's all show. Look at the way he's using that scale.
At that moment, a single figure walked in their direction. The students who had been drinking or smoking weed froze at the sight of him.
Phew! The stench of trash! Truly repulsive, isn't it?
The identity of the man wearing a robe dyed in the crimson color of the School of Pyromancy was Leonard Sanctum. He looked at the alchemy students like insects as he stepped over to them, then smiled brightly as he saw Sung Churl standing beside his alchemic cauldron emitting black smoke.
Ha ha!
His figure vanished instantly along with the magic circle he created and soon appeared before Sung Churl.
Hey, Mr. Unwelcome Guest of the School of Cosmomancy, how are you doing?
He pulled his face closer to the alchemic cauldron, then formed an expression of shock as he looked at the failed synthesis product.
Oh my! Are you perhaps in charge of presenting a product for the School of Alchemy?
It's as you can see.
It looks as if you've failed, though.
When Sung Churl shut his mouth, Leonard let out a sharp laugh through his nose, then walked past him.
There isn't much time left, so try your best. You'll be processed for expulsion otherwise.
Sung Churl surmised that Leonard was behind the sudden decision to disband the School of Alchemy.
Mages have always been like this. They like their cloaks and daggers.
However, it didn't make much difference to Sung Churl, regardless of what Leonard chose to do. Sung Churl was confident that he could synthesize a fifth-level alchemic item at this juncture. That result came to him a day later than he had expected, on the 4th day. What Sung Churl had tried wasn't the alchemic bomb dark, nor buoyant crystal, but Elfir's medicine. The process of making Elfir's medicine was similar enough to the method of a favorite recipe of his that it was almost indistinguishable. He had to decoct precious medicinal ingredients to milk their juices, then mix it with even more precious medicinal ingredients to create a medicinal soup. He had to use a ladle to carefully mix several alchemic ingredients containing magic power with the medicinal soup, which is where it differed from his cooking recipe. Thankfully, the experience he accumulated during his previous attempts to create alchemical items was proving to be beneficial. He replenished his missing mana with mana drink and learned to cope with the draining mental focus thanks to his practices. And it finally happened on his 2nd attempt at synthesis.
he was able to witness the spectacle of blinding brilliance flooding out of his alchemic cauldron. Synthesis success!
Wow!
Bertelgia passionately shook her body. It must have become a habit. Sung Chul didn't appreciate her making a ruckus, but happily accepted her gesture just this one time. He could feel the long-forgotten feeling of accomplishment wet his thirsty heart as he filled the fifth-level alchemic item of his creation into a glass bottle. He headed towards Pashil Filarus afterward. This is the promised fifth-level alchemic item. The judging proceeded efficiently. Professor Robert Danton from the School of Cryomancy and Fregius from the School of Pyromancy were expected to attend the judging, but Fregius could not be reached, so his second in line, Professor Malouf, attended in his stead. There was a face Sung Chul recognized sitting beside Armin Malouf, Leonard Sanctum. He made a gesture to pretend to show friendliness as Sung Chul entered the meeting room of the Emergency Management Committee with Pashil Filrus.
We'll begin the judgment.
The professors in charge of judging each utilized a different method to examine the item created by Sung Chul. The examination methods were used to determine the alchemic item's type and properties, along with the authenticity of the item. The proceeding didn't take long.
This is a fifth-level alchemic item.
Robert Danton made his acknowledgement first, followed by Armin with the same opinion. Leonard's face began to become twisted as it took an ugly shape.
This can't be. How could this be?
Sung Chul lightly tossed the remainder of Elfir's medicine towards him and firmly made a suggestion with his characteristic tone of voice.
Why don't you see it for yourself then?
Leonard did as Sung Chul asked. There could only be one result. Sung Chul had created the real thing.
This can't be!
As his superiors finished making their judgments and were prepared to announce the result, Leonard shouted with sheer arrogance in the face of the situation at hand. Robert Danton looked at Leonard, who had lost his composure, with cold eyes and mumbled,
"Fucking cocky bastard. If it weren't for Fregius, I would have already dealt with such a fucker."
Armin's attitude wasn't much different, but he didn't express it as such. The result was announced in the midst of Leonard's disruptive muttering.
The decision of disbandment is null, as we accept that the assigned task has been completed satisfactorily by the School of Alchemy. However, the duration of the annulment is a year. The School of Alchemy will have to provide another reason to continue their existence within the Academy within a year from now.
It was a triumphant moment. Pashil and his students, who had been holding their breaths with their hands clenched while eavesdropping on every moment within the meeting room, let out a cheer together. Sung Chul returned as roaring cheers slowly filled the hallway. At that moment, Leonard suddenly jumped up from his seat.
You!
Leonard was losing his sense of reasoning.
You piece of shit! Sung Chul, come over here! I can't just let you go!
Sung Chul quietly turned and looked directly at Leonard. Leonard felt a suffocating terror engulf him in that instant, but brushed it off as a moment of insanity and continued to shout.
It's a duel! Let's settle this with a gauntlet! You can't refuse if you're a man, right?
Robert stood from his seat with an unpleasant expression on his face as Armin also rose from his seat. In that same moment, the shut door of the Emergency Management Committee's meeting room flew open, and the desperate face of a student wearing the robe of the School of Pyromancy appeared.
It's a disaster!
Robert paused and looked over at the student.
What is it?
The pyromancy student replied tearfully at the question.
Professor Fregius has been murdered!
That single sentence was enough to drive everyone listening into a shock. The most traumatized by the news was the quick-tempered Leonard Sanctum. Fregius was the one whose protection allowed him to return to the school, and the one with authority to fight back against the head of the School of Cryomancy. He had lost both his protector and his backer in a single moment. Robert's chilling gaze fell on to Leonard.
You, get out of my face! You fucking garbage.
Leonard's face burned bright enough to be visibly seen, but he couldn't say anything in return as he left the meeting room with his head down as though he was escaping. The landscape of power within Erfurt had suddenly changed. Sung Chul, who had been in the center of the whole spectacle, looked out the window with his closed mouth.
I can feel a storm brewing.
The premonition was predictably accurate.
When Sung Chul returned to the House of Recollections, a familiar rodent leaped in his direction.
Kew! Kew!
It was the sky squirrel, but its condition was strange. The creature, with no letter or message attached to it, had its front paw stained red with blood. Sung Chul could smell it. It wasn't from the sky squirrel. It was the scent of human blood. Chapter 17. Gathering Storms. It was within a musty darkness. A young man in his early 20s was vacantly staring at an incapacitated corpse with its hands tied around the chair. He was looking down at the remains, which were in a state where it was more accurate to call it a pile of meat marinated in blood rather than a human corpse. The youth continued looking at the corpse with curious eyes before he grabbed one of the torture devices and pushed it deep into the body of the corpse. The dead don't move. The youth looked behind him and asked with an innocent voice, "Mom, why did he die?" The youth's question rang out in the darkness as two silhouettes appeared from the shadows, one male and one female. They both wore black robes with feline masks.
"This person's heart contains a covenant,"
the female's voice echoed in the dark.
"Covenant?"
When the youth asked, the woman approached the corpse, tethered to the chair, and pulled the prosthetic arm attached to his left side, then pointed its finger toward the heart that was currently exposed.
"The moment the oath taken under the divine mediator's name is broken, your life is forfeited. He must have broken his oath the moment he decided to reveal the name you sought. That was why the heart exploded."
Listening to the woman's explanation, the youth looked deflated and dropped the small knife in his hand.
"Ah, oh, so unlucky. It was my first interrogation to meet such an idiot."
A man appeared behind him. He was a tall youth wearing the same black robe and feline mask as the rest. He slapped the discouraged youth on his back and spoke with malice.
"You are a disgrace to the family. Why does everything you do turn out like this? You can't even do one interrogation right. I'd have made this guy spit out the name of the fucker we wanted in a minute."
"Brother, don't be too harsh. This is our Pict's humble beginnings."
Black fog smoldered behind the teen. The fog transformed into a young woman with a sensual body shape, black hair and blood-red eyes. She wore a playful smile under the feline mask.
"All hear me."
The man who appeared at the beginning spoke with a solemn voice. He accepted the gaze of the four before him and extended his left arm in a disciplined gesture. There was a tattoo of lightning piercing a skull etched onto the back of his hand. It might appear to be normal or even tacky, but those that knew its meaning would never underestimate it. It was because the tattoo represented one of the four families that controlled the Assassin's Guild. Almeida family. It wasn't the most powerful among the four families, but it was known to be the most sinister. They always moved as a single unit on missions.
"This time we face off against the enemy of the world. He is a monster among monsters, whose strength exceeds the 600 mark. One mistake could cost us our lives. Don't lower your guard. Always step carefully. As a father, I don't wish to lose any of my family."
The current patriarch of the Almeida family, Divisi Almeida, finished his brief speech, then disappeared with his wife into the darkness on the far side. The oldest son and daughter, Kaz Almeida and Mira Almeida, quietly followed after their parents. The only one remaining was their youngest, Pict Almeida. His face was still twisted, as though his anger from the previous incident hadn't been resolved. He picked up the prosthetic arm that had been left on the ground, opened the dead man's jaw, then tried to shove the entire prosthetic inside. The corpse, tied to the chair, thrashed about wildly.
"Shit! All because of this fucker!"
The teen left the scene, leaving a mangled corpse behind. A man sought out the blood-soaked room after a considerable amount of time had passed. Sung Chul steadily looked at the pitifully disfigured corpse.
"Christian."
His face could not be recognized due to the grotesque methods used in the interrogation. but the prosthetic embedded into his jaw revealed his identity.
Ew! What the? I can't look at this!
Bertelgia dug deeper into the breast pocket. Sungchul looked around at his surroundings. They didn't leave behind a single clue besides the horrendous torture tools and blood. This wasn't done by just anybody. Sungchul felt that in his guts. But why? He fell into deep contemplation, briefly, beside Christian's corpse. In the end, he discovered something shiny next to the blood-soaked torture devices. A gold coin reflecting a golden light. The unmarked coin.
Did they use this to track him?
He wasn't fully aware of the ongoings of the world of merchants, but he had heard stories. There was a rumor which he found hard to believe that a skilled merchant could use a single coin to uncover everything it had experienced. He had brushed it off with a laugh before, but this was the only clue he had at this point.
Is this an act by someone who's targeting me?
There was no other way to interpret this. It was difficult to imagine that anyone would pour so many resources to chase down a single worthless slave hunter. Songcho was also still in the superior position. His unknown enemies must not have been able to uncover anything about him. This was the power of the Covenant. Sung Churl pulled out the prosthetic from Christian's mouth, attached it to his missing limb, and then looked at his figure for a bit. He hadn't been a bad friend. There were stories Sung Churl had wanted to hear from him, how he became a slave hunter, how he had spent his school life. There was never a time to ask him about his life, and now Sungchul would never know. Bzzz, bzzz. Flies began to gather at the scent of rotting flesh. Sungchul poured oil over the corpse and lit it on fire. Turning his back on the roaring fire, Sungchul blended into the dizzying lights of the slave street once again. He could hear a panicked scream regarding a fire. His mouth was firmly shut, but his eyes radiated a wrathful glare that was sharp enough to cut through the moonlight in the night. When Sung Cho returned to the House of Recollections, he could see Sarasa standing at the entrance. However, her facial expression looked different in some way. The usual haughty expression that she had on her face while she nitpicked each and every issue was nowhere to be seen. Instead, she looked more like a problem child who was caught stirring trouble. The reason was soon revealed to him. It was because he could hear a familiar cry behind Sarasa's back.
Ah, he was out and about.
Sarasa avoided Sung Churl's gaze and handed him the sky squirrel. When her cold grip released the sky squirrel, it broke free and hopped up onto Sung Churl's shoulder.
Kew, kew.
The sky squirrel enjoyed the touch of people, but it didn't seem to like Sarasa's cold hands. She looked at it with a bitter expression and spoke harshly.
Our Dorn bans pets and livestock.
It's just for a little while.
Sungchul spoke simply before brushing past her and headed to his room. Sarasa stared at his back and followed him closely with short, small steps.
I said it was forbidden. I'm the dorm's owner.
I can't help it, as the owner of the squirrel had died. I just need a single day.
Sarasa was always quite forceful, but hearing that the owner had died, she backed down a notch.
Is that right?
Sungchul nodded. He left Sarasa behind and headed towards his own room once again. The messy interior, as it was when he had first arrived, greeted him. He placed the sky squirrel on the top of the bed before sitting down himself to organize his thoughts.
If it's an assassin that's targeting me, I don't have much time.
It could have been a coincidence, but this person had arrived within Golden City, at least. The existence of the gold coin at the scene bothered him the most. Sungchul had visited the tool shop in front of the school before he had returned to the dorm. The store owner seemed to live away from the store. There was no sign of life within, and no sign of forced entry. It was also quite late, so no one was around to ask for any explanation. To know the complete story, he would have to wait until the sun was up.
With Christian dead, there really isn't anywhere I can reliably get information from.
On the other hand, Sarasa had been waiting for him in front of the door for a while now. She looked as though something was on her mind. He stood up from the bed and opened the door.
What's up?
Sungchul asked with no inflection in his voice. Sarasa avoided his gaze and hesitated, But then her expression changed, and she looked straight back into his eyes.
About that incident before, I don't have any ill will towards it. I think it was immature of me to lash out.
It's not something to apologize for. Sung Churl closed the door, or at least he tried to before Sarasa's pale hand forced itself through.
Well, wait!
He opened the door again. Sung Churl's frosty gaze landed on Sarasa's face.
You don't have to look at me like that. I just wanted to say, you've been here for a while now, so as students sharing the dorm, we should be conversing every now and then. Anyways.
Her eyes looked past Sung Churl and at the sky squirrel curled up on his bed. For whatever reason, it seemed that she took a liking to it. Sung Churl noticed the gaze and recalled a long-buried image of the past.
That kid also particularly liked animals.
The forgotten reverie was cut short by Sarasa's voice.
Anyways, you, it looks like you were chasing down the quests within the House of Recollections. You're welcome to ask me anything you don't know about. It looks like I made a mistake today, so I'll be especially nice.
What can you teach me?
A strategy against the devil of the immovable door?
Sarasa looked quite confident. However, Sung Churl's reaction was cold.
Are you talking about the devil with the shell game? I already beat him.
Oh, yeah? How about the Underground Wells Skull Soldier quest?
Beat that one, too.
Oh, yeah?
She listed several more quests, but the results were the same.
How could this be? You're lying, right?
She looked incredulously at Sung Churl. Sung Churl, who saw her hesitation, thought up one question.
Do you know about the magic tool shop outside of the campus?
Ah, Carbuncle? Yeah, of course I know.
About the owner, too?
Sarasa opened her eyes wide and nodded.
You're talking about that plump man with a booming voice, right? Yeah, I know him. I've known him since I was an undergraduate.
A strange light flashed across Sung Churl's eyes. He continued to ask her more questions.
Do you know where he lives?
I know, but why are you asking?
I have some items to deliver to him. It'd be nice if you could tell me his location if you know it.
As he said that, Sung Churl let out a whistle to call the sky squirrel.
Kew, kew!
Sarasa's eyes became fixed on the sky squirrel. It trembled as though it feared Sarasa's interest, but due to Sung Churl's grip, it ended up in Sarasa's grasp.
I'll leave him to you since I have something to deliver to him.
Ah, okay.
She gathered her hands to hold the sky squirrel. It shrieked, but as Sung Churl handed it a peanut, it calmed down. Sung Churl handed her a small paper pouch of peanuts and said,
The fastest way to get close to an animal is through its belly.
I see.
She handed over the information regarding the magic tool shop owner with no resistance. Sung Churl headed out into the darkness towards the shop owner's house. The interior of the home was pitch black. He hid his presence as his eye of truth surveyed the surroundings for potential dangers while he entered the house.
It wasn't too late.
The murderer's reach hadn't extended here just yet. The owner had simply fallen asleep. Sung Churl shook the man awake. The shop owner, who had been muttering in his sleep, rubbed his eyes away and met the unwelcome guest.
What is wrong, sir?
Sung Churl pushed the bloody coin towards the frightened shop owner.
Do you remember this?
The owner finally realized the unwelcome guest's identity. It was the man who was the source of his recent windfall. Various thoughts crawled around his head, but he couldn't imagine something as shocking as what was revealed by the customer.
I am Sung Churl, the destroyer. People seem to have taken to calling me the enemy of the world.
He pulled out Falgaraz, the weapon fabled to have been bestowed upon the dwarves by their god, as if to prove his identity. Once the shop owner saw the weapon surrounded by brilliant light, he was overwhelmed with shock as his breath caught in his throat. Sung Churl glared at him and spoke with a soft but forceful voice.
Take your belongings and leave Golden City. Head to the province of the Human Empire and seek an imperial audience with the Emperor.
Sung Churl pulled out a sword made of ivory from his soul storage and handed it to the shop owner, who was still having trouble forming a single sentence.
Show this to the Imperial Court, and the Emperor will grant you an audience. However, never forget that if you reveal this truth to anyone else.
Sung Churl reached behind the shop owner towards the display cupboard. The decoration made of copper crumpled in his grip, and parts of it squeezed out between his fingers like butter.
If you mistakenly think that you can hide from me, you're welcome to try it. You're welcome to gamble your life on that bet.
Sung Churo placed the bloody gold coin in front of the man and turned around.
Leave immediately.
Yes, sir!
The man stumbled out of his bed and pulled on some clothes in a hurry to begin packing. Soon, a carriage quickly braved the cold night air as it went off towards a distant location. Sung Churo watched the horse-drawn cart disappear before turning around.
Quite unexpected of you,
Bertelgia spoke from his pocket.
What is?
When Sung Churo asked, Bertelgia popped out of his pocket and landed on his shoulder like the sky squirrel had.
I thought you'd kill the man. It is you we're talking about.
I don't arbitrarily kill innocent men.
That's what I didn't expect. I thought you were someone ruthless, like the seven heroes.
I am different from them.
Sung Churo spoke as though he was making a promise to himself, then looked off towards the sky. The light had already begun to peek out from the eastern horizon.
I bought myself a bit of time, but there still isn't much left. It's time to change my plans and rush getting the secret of cosmomancy, then leave this place.
His gaze fell on the domed structure sitting high on top of the mountain range. The death of Fregius, the head of the School of Pyromancy, came as a great shock to Air Fruit Magic Academy. Early in the morning, Sung Churo could see a truly rare sight. Hundreds of students were gathered on the campus. It was something that hadn't occurred often since the vital flow of new students had been cut from the school. They were looking at the large poster on the plaza message board. The news of the head of the School of Pyromancy's passing was written within.
My God, for Professor Fregius to have died.
One of the pillars that supported this school has collapsed.
Where is Airfruit headed for now?
Sung Churo met a familiar face as he walked while listening to the conversations among the crowd.
Hey, genius alchemist!
It was Pashil Filrus, who looked closer to that older kid you knew around the neighborhood, rather than a professor. He acted like he was his longtime childhood friend and offered his hand for a shake. Sung Churo simply stared at the outstretched hand indifferently. Pashil, looking a bit embarrassed, began to scratch his head.
Ah, well, isn't my face feeling quite heated?
What's wrong?
Sung Churo had seen Pashil Filarus hit rock bottom, so he could not find a reason to treat Pashil with respect.
Greetings! More importantly, have you seen the poster?
Pashil, as though he acknowledged his own incompetence, didn't mention Sung Churo's attitude towards him. Sung Churo looked at Pashil's smirking face and asked a question.
Are you referring to Professor Fregius's death?
Yes, of course. However, that's not all. There's a critical behind-the-scenes story.
Another story?
This time, Sung Churo showed an interest. Christian's death had been such a major issue for him that he had been preoccupied. But information about the death of one labeled as the leader of the followers of Calamity was certainly very interesting indeed. When Sung Churo's frosty exterior seemed to have melted slightly, Filarus became excited and kept on blabbering.
Ah, yes. You'll be surprised when I tell you. Come this way.
He brought Sung Churo to an isolated spot, then looked around once before speaking with a soft voice.
I overheard this from the meeting between professors. They say that Professor Fregius was murdered in the same method as our former principal, Professor the Grand Magnus, 3 years ago. Presumably, it was the same person.
What was the method?
Filrus took a moment to gather his thoughts before making his reply.
One half of the corpse was torn asunder as though it was struck by a great force. They say it's a horrid scene that they couldn't sit through, and it was as though someone had taken a meteor directly to the face.
Meteor?
Meteor was the best known spell within the School of Cosmomancy. It was a powerful spell that summoned a comet from the sky to make a massive strike against an enemy on the ground.
That's what they say, but as you know, meteor isn't something that can be used indoors. If they had used it indoors, they would have blown away not only the professor, but also the building with it.
He died indoors?
Professor Fregius, I mean.
Pashil nodded. Sung Churo had more real combat experience than anyone else, but he had never encountered such a spell.
I can't discount that it could be some derivation of a summoning spell.
A magic academy with a wide variety of magic couldn't make head or tail of this magic, so anything was possible.
Anyways, who could the criminal be?
to kill the Grand Magnus, and now the headmaster candidate Phrygius? He can't be a run-of-the-mill mage.
The criminal is a mage?
That's right. We found remnants of magic. That's why they're so frantic. What kind of mage could have done such a thing? It'd have to be a powerful mage that could overcome those powerful mages. People are suspecting that the head of the school of cryomancy, Robert Danton, is the murderer, but as I see it, this kind of deed isn't something cryomancy can do.
At that moment, soldiers wearing shining silver armor were marching onto the campus. Countless students took the hint and began scattering away. The area naturally fell under the soldiers' jurisdiction. Pashil frowned at the sudden commotion.
Phew! They're back. Those dogs from the Order of Purity.
Sung Chul's gaze turned toward the soldiers as well. He also glimpsed at the man that was being escorted by the soldiers. With his white judge's garb and a crow mask, he looked closer to a divine entity than a man.
Is that the Inquisitor of Heresy?
The Inquisitor of Heresy was an incredibly religious crusader of faith that worked as a clergyman within one of the two orders that followed the God of Order, the God of Order being one of the five main gods of Otherworld. However, it wasn't uncommon that the blind faith of these people gave off a bad vibe. Sung Chul had witnessed a certain innocent northernmost frontier village located close to the demon realm disappear. He had also killed three of these inquisitors. They weren't particularly powerful foes. He only felt that they had the resilience of a cockroach.
I want to avoid confrontation if possible.
Pashil piped up as Sung Chul was organizing his thoughts.
That inquisitor. There are rumors that he's the half-brother of our former principal, the Grand Magnus.
Half-brother?
That's right. The Magnus name is a mage family known for their deep history, but the Inquisitor, who was the child of the legal wife, was sent to the Order due to his lack of talent. The Grand Magnus, on the other hand, as the son of a mistress, was so talented that he managed to earn the grand title to his name. As you can imagine, they were very antagonistic towards each other. Well, according to rumors, that is.
Pashil continued to tell more stories, but they were all irrelevant gossip. Sung Chul ended the conversation appropriately, then turned to head towards the school of cosmomancy. It was at this moment that a crowd of mages headed towards his direction. It was a group of students wearing uniforms dyed in blue, accompanied by a middle-aged mage. He was acquainted with the middle-aged mage. Stocky jaw with a sharp nose, a face with indifferent blue eyes. It was the head of the school of cryomancy, Robert Danton. Sung Chul recalled the scene of him tossing Leonard Sanctum out in the most humiliating manner immediately after hearing the news of the head of the school of pyromancy's death. That Robert Danton was looking at Sung Chul right in the eye. Without notice, he stopped before Sung Chul.
Can we speak briefly?
If it's only very brief.
Robert didn't react to Sung Chul's brash reply, but the students behind him were livid.
No manners! Who do you think this person is that you can speak to him without lowering your head?
A mere alchemist. Know your place.
Robert held up his hand to command his underlings to cease the racket, then looked at Sung Chul to speak again.
Just a moment is fine. So come by my room.
I can't spare a lot of time.
The ends of Robert's lips twitched. He turned and headed to his room first, then Sung Chul followed behind while receiving nasty looks from his students.
Oh my. Why did he come already? I couldn't make my request yet.
Pashil had wanted to ask Sung Chul to help him keep his spot as the professor of the School of Alchemy.
I heard the rumors. They say you're a pre-selected among the summoned.
Robert began speaking as soon as he took his seat. Sung Chul simply nodded.
I am also from a pre-selected group. It has been 15 years since I arrived here.
He spoke as though it was a distant past, but to Sung Chul, he was still green. Sung Chul had been summoned approximately 25 years back, though his appearance and age looked years apart.
So let's cut to the chase, as you've said that you haven't got much time.
I'll speak plainly. Robert rose from his seat, closed all of the room's curtains, then took a brief glance around before slowly walking round towards Sung Chul's back as he began talking.
If I may ask, who is your backer? It doesn't matter if you can't say. But it'll help me understand you better to overcome any misunderstandings. So think carefully and speak.
He directly asked for Sung Chul's background. Sungchul could only think that he was an honest person before considering several candidates to name as a backer. He filtered the names based on their strength and the difficulty for Robert to get in contact with. Soon a faction appeared in his mind, and he spoke its name firmly.
The Ancient Kingdom.
The Ancient Kingdom?
Robert wet his lips.
Isn't the Ancient Kingdom a place that forbids magic? Why would a group that stands against magic send you here?
You should be well aware that they use plenty of it behind the scenes, right?
Robert broke into laughter after hearing this and didn't ask any further, but it wasn't clear whether or not he believed in Sungchul's words. Tension flowed between